Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos. We're on Daf Lamed Gimel Omid Beis. We may have to finish off Lamed Gimel Omid Beis and do Daf Lamed Dalet. Today is the day before my father's yard site, so we're learning Leilei Nishmas, Rav Yosef Nissim Ben Yecheskel, as the Neshamas have an Aliyah, along with all of the other Neshamas that we're learning for. And today we're specifically also learning Leilei Nishmas. Our good friend Joey Schiff's father, whose yard site is today, the 9th of Nisan, Eliyahu ben Yaakov Alevi, may his neshama have an aliyah, and all the neshamas we learn for, may they have an aliyah from our learning. So we'll pick up on the very last line of Lamed Gimel, Omid Aleph, which we learned yesterday, and that is Tanu Rabbanim. The rabbis taught in a brisa. Asker Boli Olam, there's a reason why Asker, we said that's diphtheria, comes into the world. It's the worst misa that's possible, the more elsewhere tells us, and it comes because of one of two reasons, according to these two mandiomars. Tanakhama says it comes ala maisa, becomes because people don't take off trumas and maestros. And Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, he says the reason is a loshen hara. It becomes because people say loshen hara, they talk bad about other people. Now, we'll have psukim to support this. Omer Rabba, Rabba says, other saves, he tamer Rabbi Shubin Levi, it wasn't Rabba, it was Rabbi Shubin Levi. Micro, what's the pasuk over here to teach us these points of view? So the first pasuk is a kapitel in Tillim, v'amelech yismach belokim yishalel kol anish babo. It says that the melech, the king, is going to be very happy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that he'll be very glorified because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy about somebody who makes a shvua, and it's an emistik shvua, ki socha pidovri sheker, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will plug up the mouths of people that are saying sheker, that they lie. So therefore, this is an idea that if you speak incorrectly, if you speak dovri sheker, you say lashon hara, so therefore that is not a good thing. And yisocher, Rashi points out, means over here a lashon of askara. So this play on the words over here, that it's going to be plugged up, it means that you'll get askara. That's how your mouth will get plugged up. Diphtheria, which is normally how askara is translated, is actually a membrane in the back of your throat, and it makes it very, very difficult for a person to breathe. So this illness will literally and figuratively stop you from breathing or plug up your throat, and that's why this pasuk is an allusion over here to people that speak lashon hara, their mouth gets plugged up. Ibailu, so that's what Rabbi Elazar Rav Yossi said. So Gemara asks, did he say it's only lashon hara, or did he agree with the Tanakhama that it's meiser and lashon hara? That's Gemara's question right now. Al lashon hara kamar, did he say it's only about lashon hara, or did he say dilma? Not only on Meiser, for not taking off Trumas and Meisers, but also because of Lashon Hara. So was he adding to the Tanakhama, or was he arguing with the Tanakhama? Gemara says, let's try to answer this question from the following Braisa. Toshma. It says in the Braisa, Kishenichlus Rabbasin L'Kerem B'Yavne, when the rabbis entered into Kerem B'Yavne. Now, the place of Kerem B'Yavne was a place where the Sanhedrin moved to. There were 10 travels that the Sanhedrin did before it was disbanded. So they went to Kerem B'Yavne. When Yochanan ben Zakkai, the famous story of the Gemara in Gittin, and the Kamsa of our Kamsa Gemaras, we talked about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So Yochanan ben Zakkai said, let's save the city of Yavne and Chachameha. Tainli Yavne v'Chachameha. So this was where the Sanhedrin went, and they sat, Rashi says, shuros, shuros, kikarim. They sat like a vineyard in row after row, as opposed to the normal way that the Sanhedrin sat, which was in a semicircular format, like a tribunal. And therefore, the Romans were not upset. They didn't think that the rabbis were establishing the Sanhedrin, because they weren't sitting in the normal way that the Sanhedrin did. In any event, so they went to Kerem B'Yavne. Kishenichzu Rabbeinu Kerem B'Yavne. Hayisham Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was there. Which Rav Yehuda? So Stam Rav Yehuda is usually Rav Yehuda Bar Eloi. This is Stam Rav Yehuda, the Rav Shas, the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Shimon. And in this gathering in Kerem B'Yavne, there was Rav Yehuda, the great Rav Yehuda, Rav Elazar Rav Yossi, the great Rav Elazar Rav Yossi, and the great Rav Shimon. Which Rav Shimon is this? This is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Now notice that our daf is Lamed Gimel, right, which is very appropriate because the famous Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is famous for Lag BaOmer, and it's interesting that it's found on Daf Lamed Gimel, this story that we're going to now have about Rabbi Shimon going into the cave and his son Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon. In any event, these three great gedolim were asked. Nishalo Shela Zubifneim. The following question was asked to these three great Tanoim. Makazu, in other words, this askara, this maka, right? She says this is askara. Why does it start off in the stomach, in the intestines, in the insides, and it ends up going up to your back of your mouth? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu make this maka form in this way? And this is really true. Diphtheria starts down and it comes up, and it makes this membrane in the back of your mouth that makes it very difficult for a person to breathe. So these three Tanaim answer as follows. Nana, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, Rosh HaMedabim Chol Mokom. So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, he gets up first. He's known as the first one to always speak. The Gemara will tell us in a moment why he's known as the Rosh HaMedabim, the famous story of Rishon Bar Yochai in the cave. This starts off with Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi. And he said that the explanation over here, why is Asker starting in the Bnei Meayim and it ends up in the mouth. So he said as follows. Af al pi shekloyos yotzos. Even though your kidneys are the seat of advice, right? The kloyos are always considered the seat of wisdom. V'lev meivin, and the heart is the place that understands things. And the loshul mechatech, and the mouth is what actually says the words. Nevertheless, pegomer, your mouth is the final step. In other words, it all depends on what comes out of the mouth. So therefore, it may start off inside, in the heart, in the kloyos. That's what it means. It's maschelis v'vei meyayin, v'gomeris v'pev. But the loshul nara ends with the mouth. That's what Yehuda Bar Eloi, Rosh HaMedab. Next Tanoic opinion, he says, you know why? Because your mouth is the cause of all the problems. Your mouth allows the non-kosher food to enter inside. Dvarim Tmeim, it allows non-kosher. Tomei is an animal that's not kosher. It's called a Tomei animal. Treif is a kosher animal that can't be eaten because it wasn't shechted properly, because it has various abnormalities, various mumim. Blemishes in it. In any event, so you eat chazetreif, you eat over here an animal that's tummy, so that's why you deserve over here to get askur. Mar says, really? Dvarim tmeim, salka daitach? If you have, Rechbon al-Islan, a piece of bacon, are you mechuyev misa? No. So why should you get askur for eating a piece of bacon? As horrible as that is, it's not a chiv misa. Mar says, you're right. Elo, when it says over here, that it because of food, so Rav Elazar Yossi says, "Sheochlim b'advarim she'enem mesukanim." Oh, you're eating tevel. You're eating something they didn't have trumas ma'ases taken from it. Ooh, that's a chiyav of misa b'dei shamayim. Oh, that's why your person is going to be chayav misa for eating something through his mouth that is a chiyav of misa. The third reason, Nana Rabbi Shimon v'yomar, Rabbi Shimon v'yachai, he says the reason is b'avon bitul Torah, because people don't learn Torah, and Torah you're supposed to speak out. And therefore, if a person doesn't speak out the Torah, so therefore his mouth will be punished and he'll get askara. The Gemara says, okay, wait a second. Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Shimon, that works great for men. Noshim yochichu, but what about women? Women have no chiv to learn Torah. Yeah, a woman has to know halachos, but if a woman could take a pill and she knew all the halachos, if a woman was able to just watch what her mother did, which was the way many women learned Torah, they saw what their mother did, they learned how to cook, how to keep kasherus, that they learned how to taras mishpach, etc. They learned it from their mother. So that's how they learned it. They didn't learn it in the Shia. So a woman technically has no chiv, no mitzvah to learn Torah. She has to know how to do the mitzvahs. So therefore, how can you tell me that askara comes because of a lack of learning Torah? Women, why would women get askara then? And unfortunately, women do get askara. So the more answers, no, shivavatlan is balei, because they cause their husbands not to learn Torah. So that's like they're causing bittul Torah, and therefore they're punished with askara. Okay, that's great, the Gemara says, but nochem yochichu. So then, how come goyim get askara? They have no chiv of learning Torah. Shmuel says, yeah, same reason like the women. Shivavatlan Yisrael, the goyim persecute us, the goyim cause us not to learn Torah, so therefore, that's why they get askara. Where it says, Tinoko Shilchicho, so little children. Whoa, what does a little kid do that he should ever get askara? Because he's not mechuyev in learning Torah. So where it says, no, Shavatlan Asavir, because the parents, the father, has to go take care of the little kid. The little kid needs to be played with, the little kid needs to be diapered, and that causes bitul Torah. So that's why they get askara too. Now the Gemara says Tinoko shall base Rabban Yochichu, but then the little kids in Kita Aleph, the little kids in Cheder, so they're pure little kids. The Gemara also tells us that the Shul Hevel shall Tinoko shall Rabban, the Torah learning of the 5 year old or the 6 year old, that's what supports the whole world. So they do study Torah, and therefore why do they get askara? There's no bittul Torah over there. So the Gemara says, no, Hossam kid the Rabbi Gurion. This is an explanation given by Rav Gurion as to why the little kids get askara. The Omer Rav Gurion said, Vitam Rav Yosef Rabbi Shemaya. Otherwise, it was said in the name of Rav Yosef Rabbi Shemaya. The Bizman Shat Sadikim Bador, when you have great giants, when you have great Torah sages in a door, in a generation, Sadikim Nitposim Al Hador. Rachmon Lutzlan, Akosh Baruch could say, like he took away Yorub Menashe. It says that 36 people were killed in the Muhammad against the ice. So some say, no, it was Yorub Menashe. He was connected 36 people. You find the same thing. The Daniel was killed, as the Medrash says, in the Megillah. That was the fulfillment of the decree that Klai Yisrael would be destroyed. So sometimes a great Gadol can be held accountable, so to say, for the generation that he's in, and he will die, so to say, to save the generation. So what happens if there's no tzaddik like a Yorub Menashe? There's no tzaddik like a Daniel. Ain tzaddik in Bedorf. There is no great, great Torah sage. So then, Tinoka Shabbos Rabbah. So sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu can say, I'll take it out on the little children to be the Melitz Yosha for the entire generation. And we have a pasuk that supports this. Amar Yitzchak bar Zeiri, Amar Rishon ben Nazira, Maikra, what's the pasuk to support this idea? So the pasuk says, Imlo seidi l'cha yofa ben Oshim, se'i l'cha b'ikve yatzon. Rashi explains over here, in Dibra Maskul lo teidi loch, he says, if you don't know, l'shmor mitzusai, tzi lechu bakshi rachim b'zchus ikve yatzon. If you don't deserve it yourself, so ask it in the zchus of the avos, the ikviat zon, the avos of Rishonim. And in their zchus, we survive. So therefore, sometimes if there is nobody there like that, so then the children can be taken. V'amrina, the pasuk ends, gidoyim hamimushkanim alaroim. So these are the little baby goats over here. They're going to be the mashkon, they're going to be the collateral, mimushkanim, they're going to be the collateral for the roim, for the shepherds. In other words, if you don't follow the ikviat zon, so then Rachman al-Islan, your children are going to be the collateral over here for the generation. Now, all the Mepharshim point out, so we just went through this whole discussion only regards to Bittul Torah, but you could have the same argument in regards to the other things that we brought down. For example, if we said that Askara was because of Lashon Hara, or Askara because you were eating the table that wasn't Mesukan, so this doesn't apply to Goyim as well. So why don't we give the same question over there? So the Mepharshim bring various answers. We don't have time to go into it right now, but suffice to say that some of the questions that we raised over here could also be raised in regards to the other scenarios, and similar answers could be given. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, what do we see from this discussion? Shema mina apa loshon hara nami kamar. So we see that Elazar ben Yosi wasn't arguing with the Tanakhama. He was saying, in addition to it coming because of Maiser, it also apa loshon hara nami kamar. Shema mina, this is a good raya. Now we go back to discuss the famous story of Shimon bar Yochai and the caves. And this is all brought about because the Gemara introduced Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, that he was Rosh Hamadabr b'chol makom. So what does that mean? Why did he get this title that he always gets to speak first, right? Whenever they have an event, so they call up Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi first. So the answer is, the Asir Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, these three great Tanoim were once sitting together, and amongst them was another great person, according to the Gemara that we have. It says, V'yosef Yehuda ben Gerim Gabayu, and he's not Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, but Tosa says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that the right gear should be Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim. And he was in fact also a great Talmud Chacham, and we'll see that he did something over here that ended up being bad for him, the different versions of the gear that we have over here. So either Yehuda ben Gerim was not a good person, or it was Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, and he was a good person. Anyway, he was sitting with these other three Tanoim. The fact that he was sitting there, that would seem to me that it's like Tosas's gear said he was a great person, because otherwise, why would the three Tanoim be sitting with a person that wasn't a great person? In any event, first, Pasach of Yehuda v'Yomar, Rabbi Yehuda opened up first the discussion they were having, and he said, Kamanoim Maseim Shalomazu. He says, look how nice these people, the Romans who rule Eretz Yisrael, look how nice that they are. Now, the Girsan Rashi says Roman, Shalumazu, he says it's the Romian, but others say this actually talking about the Greeks, the Yavonim over here. In any event, Rav Yehuda praised them, and he said, look how nice they are to us. Look what they've done. Tiknu Shvakim. They establishes all these malls, all these marketplaces over here. Tiknu Gisharim. They made bridges. They made highways. They made all these infrastructure, right? Tiknu Merchatzos. They made all these public bathhouses so people could stay clean. They did this all for the greatness of the public. They're great tzaddikim for the public. So the Gemara says, Rav Yossi Shasak. Rav Yossi sat there, didn't say anything. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. And along comes Nana Rabbi Shimon Yochai V'Yomar. He says, what are you talking about? You know what? They did this over here. The Romans or the Greeks, whoever it was, they did it over their own selves. They didn't do anything for the public good. They made marketplaces over here. Tiknu Shvakim Lahushibim Zonos. This is a convenient way for them to go. That's where the Zonos would be, where the market is, so they know where the Zonos are. They didn't create the market so people should have food, people should have clothing. They created it so they have a place to go to for the Zonos, for the harlots. Why did they create the Merchatzos? The bathhouses, so they could pleasure themselves in the bathhouses. Then Gisharm, why they make bridges? They put up easy pass. They put up tolls over there so people would have to pay. That's why they made it. They made it to make money, not so people get to the other side. So, in other words, Yehuda praised them. Rav Yossi said nothing. And Rav Shimon Yochai said, I'll tell you the real reason. And he said that they were really terrible people. No, Yehuda ben Gerim, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, was sitting there with them. Halach Yehuda ben Gerim, Sipa Divraim. He told over, he went, Rashi says, to his wife and his children. That's how Rashi explains this. And he was known as Ben Gerim because he was Ben Gerim of Yoris Hayah. Both his parents were converts. In any event, he went and told the Sipa Divraim to his Talmidim. In other words, he was Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim. He then told over what he learned with the Tanoim to his Talmidim, only Avivim, or to his father and his mother. But unfortunately, it was eventually told over to the government. Now, he didn't tell it to the government. He wasn't a tattletale. According to this version, he was a tzaddik. He was a good person, but he made a mistake, and he ended up telling it to people that he couldn't guarantee he wouldn't tell it to the government. So the Roman government finds out. And what happens? The Nishmul Amalchus, once the government finds out, so Amru, they said, so we know the whole story. Yehuda, by Loi, She'ila, he praised us. He said, we're great people. Yisala, he's also going to be praised. In other words, he's always going to be Rosh HaMedabrim. That's why he got the title of Rosh HaMedabrim. The Romans said, you always get to speak first because you praised us. Yossi Shishasak, however, Yossi didn't say boo, he didn't say anything. So Yigle Litzipori. So he's going to be sent into Golus. He has to go to Tzipori. Others had the Girsa, he was Nigle from Tzipori. He lived in Tzipori and he had to leave there. But Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Shimon Shigina, he made fun of us. He said, we're nothing. Yahareh, he needs to be killed. So what happens? They went to get him. Azalu Berei and Tashu Bei Midrasha. So he hid. Rav Shimon took his son, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, and he hid in the base Medrash. They'll never find him over there. Every day, Kol Yoma, have a Maisa Luhu Devesu, his wife. He had Sadekis for a wife, and she brought them food, and it was very dangerous. So his wife brought them food every day. Rifta, she brought him bread, Vekuza de Maya, a jug of water, Ukrache, and they would make a sandwich, right? They would wrap it together, and they would eat over here, and that's how they survived in the base Medrash. However, the Romans were not happy that they couldn't find him. Kitokiv Zerasa, they called in the special guard. They called in all of their people to go and find him. So therefore, now it was trouble. Amalei Levrei, so Rav Shimon says to his son, Rav Elazar, he says, your mother, my wife, Noshim Daitan Kalalan, she's going to be very easily captured, and she's going to be very easily tortured. Women don't have the physical stamina to not be tortured. So that's what it means, Noshim Daitan Kalalan. They're not going to be able to tolerate when they capture her. They're going to ask her, where's your husband? Where's your son? And they'll torture her, and she's going to give us up. Dilma Mitzarila, they're going to cause her a lot of pain. They'll Rachmona Lusan torture her. Omagayla, and she's going to, through no fault of her own, she's going to say where we are. So therefore, in order to save her life, as well as to save our lives, Ozlu Toshim and Rava, they left the base Medrash, and they hid themselves in a cave. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace, and the cave was totally covered up, and nobody could get in, nobody could get out. And another nace appeared. Yisrachish Nisa, another miracle happened. Ibrulu Charuva Ve'enu Demaya. They were locked in this cave. How are they going to eat? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, in the cave, grow a charuv, a carob tree, and a mayan, a well, Ve'enu Demaya. And water. So therefore, they were able to live off the boxer, off the charuv, and the well that was over there. So they were perfectly sustained. The Marshal points out that it was a nace within a nace over here, nace besok nace, because charuv normally takes a long time to grow, and here it grew up instantly. Okay. What did they do every day? How did they spend the next 12 years, as we'll see in the Gemara? They only had one set of clothing, so they didn't want it to get destroyed, because then they'd have trouble davening and learning. So they took off their clothing, and they went all the way into the sand. And this way, the sand covered up their erva, and therefore, they're not considered naked, and therefore, they went and could learn, and they're able to just have their heads above the earth, and this way they could learn and without ruining their clothing. And that's how they spent every day. Kuliyama Garcia, they spent learning all day long. Midan Saluye, when they had to daven, so then they got dressed, Lav Shumin Kasu Mutsalu. They got dressed, put on their clothing, they covered themselves up, and they daven, and then they would hoda mashlechem on night. They would take their clothing off again, go deep into the ground, into the sand, and up to their necks, and they go back and learn. Vada Mishlachim Anayu, and they went back to learn, and this way, Kechadil Livlu, so their clothing wouldn't get worn out. No, this happened for 12 years. Isru Treisa Shnei B'marava, B'marasa. They stayed there for 12 years. Also, Elio comes, we call my Pitzchud Mar, he goes outside the cave, and he announces, and he says, Omar, Man Lo De Levar Yochai De Mis Kesar, who's going to inform Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and Rav Elazar Rav Shimon that the Kesar, the Caesar, has died, and the rule is, when the person who made the decree during his lifetime dies, all his decrees are nullified. Ubatu Gzeirase, and therefore, the Gzeira to go and kill Rav Shimon Bar Yochai has been lifted, and now they can go out. So therefore, they heard Elio say this, Nafku, so they go out of the cave. Hashem makes the cave open up, and they go out of the cave. What happens? Chazu Inshe, they now go see people over here, and they're upset at them, because they see these people over here. Rashi says, Karve means that they were harshim, they were plowing, and Vizare means they were planting. And they said, Omar, what are these people doing? They're working over here. So they'll live a couple more years. They have food over here. That's what they're doing. They should be spending their time learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of all their food needs. They'd reached such a high madrega in the cave that they didn't understand that anybody has to work for a living. And therefore, what happened? Komokum shnosinayim. They looked wherever they saw both Rosh Hashanah and his son. They looked miad nisraf. Everything got burnt up because they were such a high madrega that nothing could withstand their gaze. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls out, Yatsa Baskov Yamulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rings out to them, did I let you out of the cave? I let you out of the cave that you should go destroy everything? Get back in the cave. Hashem was mad at them for, even though they were such a high madrega, they shouldn't go about destroying stuff that's not on their madrega. Right? If a person's on a high madrega, he shouldn't look down at the other people that are on a lower madrega. So they took the Musar, Hadru Vazel, they went back into the cave. They stayed there another year. Isru Teresa Yachishasa. They stayed there for 12 more months. Why 12 months? They said, Mish Barishraim Ganim Shem Sakhodish. Even the worst Russia only stays in again for 12 years. So we fulfilled, even if we're the worst people in the world, so we fulfilled this Gezerah, we stayed inside for another 12 months, and they said, Mish Barishraim Ganim Shem Sakhodish, now we can go out. No. Yos the Baskov Yama, the Baskol agreed with him and said, no, Tsumi Marischem, you can go out. Now they go out, Nafku, but the same thing happens again. Call Echad Ahava Mochi Rabbi Elazar, wherever Rabbi Elazar, the son, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, wherever he looked, he would destroy. However, Havi Masi Rabbi Shimon, but here, so to say, Rabbi Shimon blocked it from being destroyed. He healed everything because he was more mature than Rabbi Elazar's son. And therefore, Amar Lo, so Rabbi Shimon says to his son, Bini, my son, Dai Li Olam Ani V'Yata. We will be on this high madrega. You and I will be on this high madrega. We can't expect the rest of the world to reach our madrega. They haven't been locked away for 12 years just learning. No, meanwhile, Bahani Mahade Panyo Dumali Shabbata, that it was Friday afternoon, and they saw one guy, Chazu Ausaba, they saw an old man. Now, sometimes an old man means Elio, but here we just had Elio coming to the outside of the cave, so this Ha'usaba, the Mepharshim bring down, clearly is not Elio. In any event, this old man, Habanokitre Midoni Osa, he was carrying over here two pieces over here, two branches of Osa, Osa's myrtle, right? So, V'roit Ben Hashmoshos, and he's running, right? Tzerev Shabbos. So I'm like, where are you running? Hani Lomelo, why do you have these two asa over here? Why do you have these two myrtle branches over here? And where are you running? So Amalu, he says, I'm running for Shabbos. Look, covered Shabbos. I got to get home and bring this to Shabbos. No, why do you need two? Betiski lo bechad. You want to have a nice smelling or a beautiful flower on your table? Fine. Why do you need two? So he says, oh, that's the easy one. Chad keneged zocher, chad keneged zocher, shomer. So you zocher v'shomer, right? We say this in L'chad Dodi. So therefore, he said, one is for zocher, one is for shomer. Many women light two candles. That's the reason why they light two candles. One for zocher, one is for shomer. One is for the assays, one is for the los assays. These two aspects of zocher and shomer b'shabbos. This was a beautiful answer. So Amalei Levrei. So Shimon tells his son, oh, Chazei Kamach Aviv in Mitzvah Yisrael. These people, they may not be on my dragon learning, but they love Torah, they love Shabbos, they love Mitzvahs, and therefore, Yosef Daitayu, they were very happy. They're great people in the world, not only Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his son. No, meanwhile, Shama Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair Chasone. Now, the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, who is a great, great tzaddik himself, is the son-in-law over here of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. In other words, he married Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's daughter, Rabbi Lazar, Rav Shimon's sister. But if you look in the Meloah Reim and also many, many others, they bring down that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was actually Rav Shimon Ben Yochai's father-in-law. And the Mepharshim bring down, the proof of this is because he's going to bathe Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, and if it was his father-in-law, it would be also for him to bathe him to see his father-in-law undressed. If it's his son-in-law, so then it's not a problem. So some bring this raya over here that actually Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was the father-in-law, not the son-in-law over here. In any event, Benofak Leapi, he was so happy, he hadn't seen him for 13 years, and he went out to greet either his son-in-law or his father-in-law, depending on which gear suit that you have. Aile Lebevene, he brings him into the bathhouse, and have a call, Orich Le Levisre. He's giving him a nice massage over here. He's rubbing his back, and he sees Chazi Dahavabe Pile Begufe. He sees that there's a lot of cracks over here. A peel, an elephant, is known as peel because of the cracks or the what looks like the grooves in his skin. So he saw that Rav Shimon's skin, he was sitting in the dirt for 12 years, see, 13 years, he saw that his skin was all cracked. Have a kabachi. So he started to cry, all the tzaras that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai had went through. And as he cried, the tears dripped onto these cracks. Because Nasru Dimasene, his eyes, the tears dripped down onto these cracks, and it caused him a lot of pain. So, because the eyes, Rashi says, are salty. The tears are salty. So I'm alone. So Pinchas Ben Yair says, oh yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I did this and that I have to see you in such pain. So I'm alone. Shimon says, no. Ashrecha Sharisari Bekach. Whoa. It's great that you get to see me like this. Shilmali Lorisari Bekach. Because if I wasn't going through all these physical difficulties over here, Lamotzasi Bekach, then I wouldn't have reached the great Torah heights that I've reached. The Meikara, originally it was Kavi Makshir Rav Shimon Yochai Kusha, where Rav Shimon Yochai would ask a question, Have a Mefarikle Rav Pinchas in Yoret, Reisar Piruke, his, I think that's what makes sense to say, it was his father-in-law, because why would Rav Shimon Yochai ask his son-in-law questions, and Rav Shimon Yochai didn't know it, and his son-in-law did. So if it was Pinchas in Yoret, it was a great, great tzaddik. So if he was his father-in-law, it makes sense. And Rav Shimon Yochai asked him questions, and he was able to give him 12 answers for every question that he asked. Lasov, however, after he came out of the cave, after 13 years of unbelievable hasmada in the cave, Kiyab HaMashi, Rav Pinchas in Yoret, Kusha, now where Pinchas in Yoret would ask him a question, having a far play, Rav Shimon Yochai, Esri Abad Peruke, he would give him 24 answers. So you see how great he became during the time in the caves. So now, the Gemara says, Omar, Shimokai says, now I had a nes over here for these 13 years. Ho Misrachish Nisa, Ezel Askimosa. Since I had a nes over here, so then I want to go and give something back to the community. Now, before I should bring down, we just learned in the Gemara that a person shouldn't use up his, he shouldn't rely upon a nes, because it uses up, it's menakef mihaz zuchuyos, it deducts from his zuchuyos that he had. So some suggest that that's what Rav Shimon said over here. I just had a nes performed for me, I survived 13 years over here, so I don't want that to come be deducted from his zuchuyos. Let me go do something back for the kahal and not get paid for it, and that will, so to say, offset the zuchuyos that I needed to survive. This will be instead of that. So that's what happened. Dechsev, the pasuk says, Vayavo Yaakov Sholem. When Yaakov came back from Lavan, he came back totally Sholem. So what does it mean Sholem? V'amarav, Sholem Begufo. He was intact from the point of view of his physical body. Sholem B'mamonu, he was intact in terms of his wealth. And Sholem B'taraso, and he was intact in terms of his Torah. Now he just fought with Lavan, he just fought with Yaakov, with Esav, and he fought with the Malach, and yet he didn't lose anything in all of these endeavors. And it says, Vayichan es pnei ir. He did something very nice. It literally means Vayichan, he set up his roots over there, he made a machane over there, he encamped over there, but Amarav, it means Matbeya Tikalem. He did something nice for them, he made a nice coin for them, and therefore he did them a tova, because he said, wow, I just had all of these miracles happen to me, I don't want to use up my zechuyos, so therefore I better do something for them, and that will, so to say, pay for all the nice things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me. Shmuel Amar, Shvachim Tikalem. Shmuel said he set up malls for them, he set up marketplaces for them. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Merchatzos Tikalem. He did bathhouses for them, and therefore all of these things were done to show his gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he shouldn't be menakeh from his zechuyos. Gemara says, Amar, Shmuel Yochai said, how can I help you guys? Ika milsa the boiler sakune. Is there something here that I can help you with? What can I do to help? So Amulei, they said to him, Ika duchta the isbe safik tuma. There is a field over here that we're not sure what its status is. In other words, it may have tuma over here, but we're not sure. And we don't know how to rectify the situation. And now Kohanim can't go over here because there may be a safik tuma over here. We turn to the Amud Aleph. The islu tzara le kohanim la kufe. And the kohanim have to go all the way around this field. They can't go on the main road. They have to go all the way around. It takes them an extra hour to get where they're going. And therefore, maybe you can help us get rid of the tum in this field. So Rav Shimon Chai says, sure, no problem. Amr, he says, Iko inish diyoda diz chazi kocha tara. Does anybody know, any older people here know, what was here 50 years ago? That was this ever a kashura place, a tara dika place? And then I know it's not a cemetery. Because if it's a cemetery, you can't be matari. But if it only has a sopik tum over because one person died in it, so then we can uproot that grave, figure out where that grave is, and then the rest of the field is tarp. So one old guy says, Amaleyahu Saba, Kan Kitzes Ben Zakai, Turmuse Truma. I remember years ago, the Rav Yochanan Ben Zakai, Rashi brings down, he was a Kohen, so he had to go and make sure everything was done with Tahara, and therefore he says, I know the Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai cut up over here some turmase, some lupines, and they were truma, so therefore this area definitely was tar at that point in time. No, what did Rabbi Shimon Yochai do now? Since he knows it's not a cemetery, there was only one grave that somehow got lost over here. How does he get rid of it? So Rabbi Shimon Yochai did the same thing. He cut up some truma lupines over here and kol hecha David Koshik. And he went around and he hit the ground over here. And wherever the ground was hard, David Koshe, he said, that's no mace over here, Tare. The whole hecha David Rafi, wherever it was loose, he said, Mistam, the mace is buried over here, Tzaina. He marked it off. He made a simen over there. They put lime or whatever it was to mark the tuma, and therefore the Kohanim could go around the lime marked area, and there was no problem. Rashi brings down a different aspect over here. He said that a nace occurred over here. The mace, so to say, rose up from the ground and they could demarcate the area where the mace was. Okay, that's what he did. Amar Rav Saba, there was an old man over there who said, wait a second. Tir ben Yochai Besakvaros, the Rav Yochanan Mazakai was Matar over here, a cemetery. You're not allowed to do that. So Rav Shimon Yochai looks at him very quizzically. Amalei, if you hadn't been with us, if you thought that it was you who didn't
get involved in this whole discussion with us. Or if even you had been with us, but you disagreed with us, okay, you're a fatomis, then you have a right to say what you said. But you're a chutzpahdik person, you're a hypocrite over here. You were with us when I asked you about this, and you were included over here in our discussion, and when we paskin over here, you paskin with us. So how dare you say over here that I'm being retired over here based on quarrels? You should have spoken up sooner. Now after the fact, you're speaking up. So he said, Yomru, people that are going to hear what you have to say, they'll say, Zonos befarkas o zozo. Just like the Zonos argue with each other, even when they argue with each other, they also take good care of each other. They befarkasos means that they go, Rashi says, esar chaver telios na. They go do nice to the hair. They comb each other's hair. They braid each other's hair. So therefore, people are going to say that we're just like the Zonas. So we fight with each other and we treat each other, you know, in ways that aren't nice. So therefore, Yav Beini, Rav Shimon gave him a look, v'noch nafshe, and he died. That's the gersa that we have. In a moment, I'll tell you another gersa, but let's just get to the Mishnah. Nafak l'shuka, Rav Shimon Yochai goes out to the marketplace, Chaz Yel Yehudim and Gerim, and he goes and sees Yehudim and Gerim over there. Now, this was Yehudim and Gerim from the original discussion, and Rav Shimon was surprised to see him. Amar, Adayin Yesh Lo Zeh Ba'olam, this is 13 years later, plus. And he says, you're still alive? Nosa Ueina, if you give him a look, Vaso Gal Shalat Somos, and he turned into a pile of bones. Now, according to the Gersa, it's not Yehudim and Gerim, and that he in fact told Lashon Hara over here, so then, in this situation, it must be that he was a Rasha. But according to Tosa, it says Yehudim and Gerim was a good person. What's going on over here? So there's a very interesting Yushalmi. This Yerushalmi is alluded to in the Gilyon HaShas on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, where it says, in Perek Tes and Shvius, Hu Be'inyan Acher, there's another story over there. And it says over there that Rav Shimon Yochai gave a heter that you're allowed to eat certain type of Shemitah produce. And the Chum didn't agree. He was poured together, and as a result, he was punished. And the Gemara there says he stayed in the Mara for 13 years because he was punished, and he saw a trapper of birds that set a bird trap over there, and a bas kol warned the bird that was about to be caught, and the bird escaped. So Rav Shimon Yochai saw that now, this is a simon from Shemayim, he's allowed to leave the cave, and he said, I have to do a chesed to thank Hashem. So what did he do? He went to go and get rid of all of the tumah that was in Tveria. So there was a kusi over there that thought he'd play a trick on Rav Shimon Yochai. And after Rav Shimon Yochai was matar a certain area, the kusi came and put a mace over there. And he says, is it really tar? Now, Rav Shimon Yochai saw through Ruach HaKodesh, the Gemara in Yerushalmi says, that this had occurred. And he said, Gozer ani alav ha'alyonim sheyardu v'atachtonim yalu. He said, I'm asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a mace over here, that the one who's buried over here should come up, and the one who's up here should go down. And that's what happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that there was Tchias HaMeisim, and the buried person there woke up and became alive, and the Kusi died. And this is the story that happened. And there was one Rav over there, a Sofer, that didn't believe that Rav Shimon Yochai was really Matar the place. And Rav Shimon Yochai said, you just saw the nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me, and yet you still doubt me? And the Sofer was the one that turned into Gal Shel Atzomos, and not review. Huda ben Gerim. So according to the Gersa, Huda ben Gerim was a tzaddik, so that didn't happen. Others say, no, he just died. He didn't turn into a Gal Shel Atzmos. According to the Gersa, he was a good person. He had done something somehow that was incorrect, and years later, he died for that sin. Okay, this is the famous story of Rav Shimon Yochai. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says, right before it gets dark, shouldn't do too early because people won't listen to you. So right before it gets dark, the following three things in his house in every Shabbos, mostly after the banana. Did you make an Erev Tuchumin? Did you make an Erev Chatzeros? Gemara will discuss, did he really have to say both of them? Was it one of them? Gemara will discuss this. And finally, after these two questions, so then he can say, Hadliku was an Erev. He didn't ask, did you light the candles? He could see it's dark. So therefore, he said, now go light the Shabbos candles because it's almost Shabbos. Now, this is before it's Shabbos, before the Shkia. If you're in the Ben HaShemoshes period of time, you're not sure, is it dark, you're not sure, is it night, is it light, so you don't know if it's day or night yet, so then, you're not allowed to take off Trumas HaMaisa from Vaday, but, we'll see, you'll have to take them off from Demai, something that probably had Trumas HaMaisa taken off of it, but some Amaratzim did not, so it's really only a Chiv de Rabbanon, so that's Sofek, and you'll have to take it off during the Ben HaShemoshes. Likewise, you're not allowed to be Tovul Kalim, and a mikvah during the Ben HaShemoshes period of time, because you're not allowed to be misakin money, you're not allowed to fix things. Then Madlikin is an area, you're not allowed to candles at that point in time. That's halacha l'maisa, the women who don't light early enough, and it gets late, it gets late, it gets late. If it goes past the shkia, so they're not allowed to light.
Avum asun ha'demai, but you are allowed to take off Shumas and Maisis during the Ben HaShemashah time from Demai. Demai is Dumai. What is it? So it was, most of the Amoratsim did take off Shumas and Maisis, but unfortunately a small percentage didn't. And the rabbi said, now, when you ever buy stuff from an Amoratz, definition of an Amoritz, according to many, is one who doesn't take off Trumas and Maestros, so then you have to take off this Durabonon type of Trumas and Maestros called Demai, and you took it off from the Demai. Arvin, and you're allowed to go during the banishment period of time, make an Erev, the Gemara will discuss if it's Erev Chaseros or an Erev Tuchumim, and the Toman and Zachamin. And during this period of time, you're allowed to go and insulate food. We'll see that what we're talking about in terms of insulation, this will be a whole discussion as to Hatmana on Shabbos. Mara starts off and says, Minani Mili, how do you know that you're allowed to do the things that we just said? Amir Yishuv and Levi, Amar Kora Pasuk says, Yodata ki shalom alecha, you'll know that there's Baruch Hashem shalom in your house. Ufakarita no v'chov lo sechta, and then you'll be able to go and make sure that nobody does any sins in your house. You make sure you tell all the people not to sin. So in other words, if you have nice light in the house, then people won't sin and everything is good. Even though the Chazal said, so even the rabbi said, do this, so you might say, I'm going to do this, stark. So he says, no, you have to do it in a way that people will listen to you. You have to say it in a nachastik way. Because otherwise people won't listen to you. If a person yells and screams, people don't listen to him. If a person says things in a nice, quiet, calm voice, so there's a better chance that people will listen to him. On this note, Amar Ravashi says, I never heard that. It was a beautiful part. I never heard it. I never heard him say that. But, nevertheless, I figured it out on my own, that if you say things in a nice, calm voice, people will listen to you. I didn't need to hear this part in order to know that. Where it says, now, Hagufa Kasha, this seems to be a mutually contradictory statement over here. First of all, you say, in the beginning, these things you have to do before the Shkia. Which means im chashecha in before the shkia, yes. However, sochle v'chashecha, sochle v'chashecha during the ben hashmashos period of time, during the twilight period of time, you're not sure it's day or night, light or day, light or dark. So then, no, you're not allowed to do it. So you're not allowed to do it during ben hashmashos time. But then, hadu tani, but right afterwards it says sochle v'chashecha, sochle v'chashecha ma'ariv. You are allowed to make an erev. So what's going on over here? First, you say that you have to say iraptem before the sun is set, and then you say if it's the ben hashmashos, you can still do it. So which one is it? So Gemara says, Simen begufya zimra tzipara bechavla demilsa. Now this is unusual simen over here because this is talking about really the rest of the Masechta. We're going to have a whole bunch of statements that are made in the name of Rav Abba, in the name of Rav Chiya Barashi, who said it in the name of Rav. So this one over here is only one that we're talking about. The rest of them are throughout the Masechta. Very unusual. In any event, what's the one over here? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. Lo kasha. There's not a steer over here. The first one, kan be'erev techumim. In the beginning, the Mishnah says you must do it before the Ben HaShemashos. That's talking about an erev techumim. You want to make your erev beyond a certain point that you can travel further. That you must do before the Ben HaShemashos. But kan be'erev techatzeros, in order to be able to carry within a two different Rishus HaYachas, you want to combine them into one ownership that you can even do during the Ben HaShemashos period of time. Why is there a difference between these two dinim? So the din is that an erev techum, and there is an opinion that says that techum is daraisa. Different opinions, how much is that if it's daraisa? But there is an opinion that says daraisa. So there's a little bit of a sauce, so therefore you can't do that during the Ben HaShemashos period of time. But erev chatzeros has absolutely no sauce in it. It's pure derabanan, and therefore, even during the Ben HaShemashos period of time, you're allowed to do this. Where Ketinu says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Amar Lo Shnayim, if two people tell you, Tzev Ariv Aleinu, go make an erev for us. Now, so he's doing it for two people. For one of them, he makes the Erev during the daytime. The other one, he made the Erev during the Ben HaShemashos period of time. And the one that he made the Erev before the start of the night, before the Shkia. So now, Nechol, Eruv Ben HaShemashos, that Erev was eaten up during the Ben HaShemashos period of time. Zesh Erev Alav Ben HaShemashos, the one that he made the Erev during the Ben HaShemashos, Nechol Eruv Mishachesho, that Erev was eaten up after the Tzeis HaKochavim. So in both situations, both of their Erevs worked. The one that was made before the Shkia worked because it was present during the Ben HaShemashos still, even though it's eaten up, who cares? And the one that was made during the Ben HaShemashos, it was present after the Tzeis HaKochavim, so who cares if it was eaten up during the Ben HaShemashos period of time? Someone says, I don't understand. Manashach. One way, there has to be a problem over here. If Ben HaShemashos is Yomamu, if you're telling me that the twilight, the Ben HaShemashos is daytime, so then Basra Likne, so then I can understand why the second one should work, but Kamal Lo Likne, how can the first one work? You put it in there during the Ben HaShemashos, which is day, and it didn't last. So it wasn't an Erev Chatzeris. Or, if you want to tell me, Ben HaShemashos is Lailo, you want to tell me the Ben HaShemashos is really night, so then Kamal Likne, the first one, it was there before the Ben HaShemashos, and it lasted into the Ben HaShemashos, which is night, that's why it worked. But Basra Lo Likne, so how can the second one, which you put up
after it's nighttime, because you're telling me banish more since it's nighttime. How did the second one work? So Mimarashach, how can both of them work? Only one should be able to work. Gemara says, no. Banish Marsha Sveku. In fact, the banish period of time is actually a suffix. And therefore, Sveka Durabanan Lukula. So Mimarashach of here, it's a suffix Durabanan in the first case, it's a suffix Durabanan in the second case, and we pass in Lukula. Furthermore, why did the rabbi say, Hatmana can be done in one of two ways. You can insulate something with something that increases the hevel, it increases the heat, or you can do it with something that ain't a mosif hevel, that doesn't add the heat, it just preserves the heat that's there. So why did the rabbi say you're not allowed to do hatmana with something that's not mosif hevel? What's the issur over here? What could be wrong? So Gemara says, Gezeru Shemiratiach. We're concerned over here because you obviously want it hot. That's why you insulated it. It may not be hot enough and you may come to stir it. And therefore, if you come to stir it, so then it's going to be a prohibition that you're over on Shabbos. Gemara says, that doesn't make sense. Amalei Abaye, Ihachi, so Ben Ashmash is not an Ibzor. So then, even before the banish washer, you shouldn't be able to do hatman over here with something that's not mosif hevel. How come you're allowed to? So Amalei, so the Chacham answered, Rava answered, Stam Kederos Rosuchain. You know why? Because normally, you take stuff off the fire right before Shabbos, it's still going to be boiling hot. And therefore, there is no concern over here that you're going to go and stir it during the Ben HaShemoshes period of time. And that's why you're allowed to do this over here during the Ben HaShemoshes period of time, but you're not allowed to do it after the Ben HaShemoshes period of time. More continues, Rama Rava. Another statement the Rava said. Now we turn to the Amud Beis. Why can't you insulate with something that does add heat? Gemara says, you're not allowed to do this. I feel the bojo. Even during the daytime, you're not allowed to do this. Why? Because there's a concern over here that if we allow you to do this, you're going to go and put some remets over here, some ash, sheyesh bogacheles, that has a coal in it, and that's not allowed. Gemara says, why not? Why is that not allowed? You're doing it during the daytime. What's the isser that you're doing? Gemara says, it's not an isser for then. It's gezeru shemayachte b'ruchalim. Now that you have a coal over there, you have a gacheles over there, you may want to heat it up on Shabbos. How do you heat it up on Shabbos? By stirring it a little bit. And therefore, it's going to make it cook fast, and you'll be over mevashel on Shabbos. Now the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanon, ben hashmashos safik min hayom min halayla. This ben hashmashos period of time, it's a little bit like day, a little bit like night. We're not sure what it is. Safik kulam min hayom. We're not certain over this ben hashmashos period of time. Is the entire period of time day, or safik kulam min halayla, or is the entire period of time night? It's a safik. And therefore, metilan osa luchomish nayom. And therefore, we have to give it the worst case scenario in both cases. It could be day, it could be night. What do we mean? Days of ben hashmashos, when is the ben hashmashos start? Mishatishka achama, from the sun sets, and kozman shepnei mizroch madim. As long as the sky in the east is red. That's called the Ben HaShemoshes period of time. Hisiv HaTachton, however, when the bottom part of the sky is, it means it's getting darkened. You embarrass somebody, his face gets red, it gets darkened. However, low Hisiv HaYom, but the upper part has not yet gotten red or dark, so that's called Ben HaShemoshes period of time. But once Hisiv HaYom, once the top part is also dark, so then at that point, the Hishul HaTachton, it's now the same color as the bottom part, so light. That's definitely light. That's Rehuda's opinion. This Ben HaShemoshes is a long period of time. We have other opinions over here. Rav Nechemya Omer, Kidei Shehalech Odem Mishetishka Chama Chatzi Mil. It's the amount of time that it would take a normal person to walk a half of a mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer, 2,000 amos. So half a mil is 1,000 amos, which takes a person to walk. The amount of time that takes a person to walk is the Shia of Ben HaShemoshes. That's the opinion of Rav Nechemya. Other opinions will say it's a different amount of time. That's Rav Nechemya's opinion. Riosa Meir Ben HaShemoshes Karavayin. Riosi says, no, it's a split instantaneous second. We don't know when it is. It's sometime during the Ben HaShemoshes period of time. But there's one split second when now it's day, and a split second later it's now night. Karavayin, like the blink of an eye. Zenichtos is a Yotze. Day goes away, night comes in. We have Shalom Alam. We don't know exactly when it is. It's sometimes over here. That's why it's called Ben HaShemoshes. But the actual period of time of the Ben HaShemoshes is Karavayin, like a blink of an eye. Now, where it says, Amamar, let's go back to discuss what we just said. Metilin also l'chomer shnei yamim. We give it the chumrah. The Ben HaShemoshes got the chumrah of both night and day. So give me an example of what that means. Amar Rav Huna, Brother Yeshua, he said, l'inyan tumah. It could be in regards to tumah. What do we mean by that? Kiditnan. Like we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us in Zavim that if a Zav has two Rios, so he's a Gzav Gadol. He just doesn't bring a carbon, but he has to count Zayinikim. If he has three Rios, then he's not only a Gzav Gadol, he has to count Zayinikim. He also has to bring a carbon. So what happens if the person has these rios during the Ben HaShemoshes period of time? So, Rosh, Neyamim, Ben HaShemoshes, if a person saw two rios during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time. So, for example, on Sunday during the Bein HaShemoshos to Monday he sees, and then on Monday to Tuesday he sees during the Bein HaShemoshos period of time. So, in this situation, Sofik Letuma Ulekarban. So, does this count as 2 days or does this count as 3 days? That's the question. So, therefore, it's not only Sofik, is he Tomei? Was it 2 days or was it 1 day? Maybe both of the Bein HaShemoshos were the same day. One Bein HaShemoshos was the start of Monday, and the other one was the end of Monday. Or do we say one was the start of Monday, one was the start of Tuesday? Or do we say one was the end of Sunday and one was the start of Tuesday? Or that they went through it. So therefore, is it one Riyah, is it two Riyahs, or is it three Riyahs? So it's a suffix for Tumah, which would be two Riyahs, or a suffix for carbon, could be three Riyahs. If you saw on one Bein HaShemoshos, and in that situation, it's only a Sofik L'tumma, because he saw throughout the Bein HaShemoshos, is that 1 day or is it 2 days? That's a Sofik in regards to Tumma. But it's not a Sofik in regards to Karma, because then you need three. So this is an example of, we could go L'chumra, whether it's day or night, or it could be both. Now the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha, we have another problem over here. Amris, first you said, Ezu Bein HaShemoshos, give me the definite Bein HaShemoshos, and you said it has to do with the sun in the sky. Mishatishka Chamu, when the sun sets. Kol Zman Shepnei Mizruch Madimim, when you have the eastern sky, the Mizruch part of the sky is Madimim, it's red. V'achichsiv Tachton V'lo Hichsiv Alyon, and the bottom part is red, but the top part is not red. Lailu, you said that's definitely nighttime. V'adaton, but then you said, Hichsiv Atachton, if the bottom part was dark or red, V'lo Hichsiv Alyon, the upper part is not, that's called Bein HaShemoshos. So that seems to be a contradiction over here. Shmuel says, no, it's not. Amar Rav, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kiroch V'tani. Read them together as follows. Ezu Bein HaShemoshos, this is the way to read the Braisa. When is the Bein HaShemoshos period of time? Yishatishka Chava. Once the sun is set, that's the start. And how long does it last? Kol Zman Shepnei Mizruch Madimim. As long as the eastern sky over here is red, and V'Hichsiv HaTachton, the bottom part of the sky is dark. However, V'lo Hichsiv Elyon, but the upper part of the sky is still not dark. That's still called Bein HaShemoshos. And only Hichsiv HaElyon, V'Hichsiv HaTachton, only when the upper part is now as dark as the bottom part, then Laila, then it's definitely night, and the Bein HaShemoshos period is over. Rabbi Yosef Rehu, the Mishmuel says differently. Hachitani says, this is what the Braisa means. Mishatishka Chama, when the sun sets, that's the start of Bein HaShemoshos. Kol Zman Shepnei Mizruch Madimim, as long as the eastern sky over here is red, it's so-called Yom, not when the sun is set. But Hichsiv HaTachton, it's only when the Tachton starts to get dark, even though Lo Hichsiv HaElyon, now that's the start of the Bein HaShemoshos. And only Hichsiv HaElyon, Hichsiv HaTachton, now it's Laila. So again, we have different periods of time as to what the Bein HaShemoshos is. La Halacha, this is one of those huge machlokesin that we have in Shulchan Aruch. It has to deal a lot with when is the optimal time to daven Mincha, or when it's too late to daven Mincha, when's the earliest time to daven Maariv, etc. These are very, very important halachos. Now, this is machlokas over here between Rabba and Rav Yosef, each of them saying the name of Yehuda Mershmuel, is each according to their own shitas. Vazul Tamayo, they each went according to previously made statements that they said as follows. Ditmar, Shir Bein HaShemoshos B'Kama, how long is the Bein HaShemoshos period of time? So Rabba says, I'm a Rabba, Rav Yehuda Mershmuel, Shlosha Chalki Mil. It means three parts of a meal. What does that mean? The Gemara says, my Shlosha Chalki Mil. What do you mean three parts of a meal? Ilem, are you telling me it means Teloga Palgi Milo? It means three palgas of a meal, three half meals. So then you just say, name a meal of meals, say 1.5 mil, 1.5 meals. Why are you saying three half meals? Ella tulasa tilse, it means over here 3/3. So then just say meal. 3/3 is one. Say 1 mil. So obviously that's not what he meant. Ella tulasa rive mila, it means 3/4 of a mil. In other words, it's 3/4 of a mil. That's Rabba. Rabbi Yosef Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, he says, shnei chalke mil, it means two parts of a mil. Again, what does he mean? So Gemara says, Maishnei Chulki Mil. What does it mean, two parts of a mil? If it means Ilema Tre Palgi Mila, it means two halves, so then just say mil, Lema Mil. Vela Tre Rive Mila, if it means over here 2/4, so then Lema Chatzi Mil. 2/4 is a half. So why are you saying this far in Russia, 2/4? Vela, return to the Yomid Aleph. It means Tre Tilsi Mil, means 2/3 of a mil. So again, one man the Yomid says it's 3/4 of a mil, the Bein HaShemoshos, and one says it's 2/3 of a mil. What's the difference between them? My benayu, eke benayu, palga de danka. 1/2 a palga of a danka, of a sixth, which means it's 1/12 of a meal. That's very easy to figure out, because 2/3 is 8/12, and 3/4 over here is 9/12. So it's 1/12 of a difference between the two shitas. That's a palga de danka, a half of a sixth, which is a 12th. With that, we conclude today's shir. We learned the shir today. Le'ilu Nishmas, Joey Shiv's father, Eliyahu ben Yaakov Alevi, and Le'ilu Nishmas, my father, Rav Yosef Nissim ben Yecheskel. All the neshamas we learned for should have an aliyah, and everybody should have a wonderful Erev Shabbos.